By February 2014, WeWork was a unicorn, and Adam Neumann was officially a business world rock star.
Adam Neumann is here. He is co-founder and CEO of WeWork.
He was everywhere, on the covers of magazines like Wired and Business Week, on TV show.
Please welcome Adam Neumann from WeWork.
After TV show.
Adam Neumann is the co-founder and CEO of WeWork.
And at business conferences. So many conferences.
What do you consider to be your special sauce?
So first of all, excellent question.
The routine was always pretty much the same. Adam would take the stage to drop pearls of wisdom, sharing with the audience the transformational business he was building and the spirit of we.
The we generation.
The we generation.
Do I do what I love?
Everyone wants to do what they love.
Change the world.
Change the world.
Make a life and not just a living.
Make a life and not just a living.
Things were good. And while Adam played the frontman, his co-founder, Miguel McKelvey, was his quiet but reliable bandmate, busy making Adam's sales pitch into a reality. At first glance, these two co-founders, Adam and Miguel, might not seem to have much in common, but they each brought something different, their own ingredient to the special sauce that fueled WeWork's rise and ultimately led to its downfall.
Jeffrey Epstein is dead. Before as many victims, the search for justice is still alive because Epstein had help, lots of help. And on the newest season of Broken, host and investigator Tara Palmieri follows Epstein's survivors as they track down those who enabled and witnessed his crimes to hold them accountable. Broken, Seeking Justice is a podcast that documents the journey of these women to find out what justice looks like in their lives, including their battle against the government to change how it treats victims of child sex abuse. They're naming names, they're seeking justice, and sometimes they even find it. Listen to Broken, Seeking Justice wherever you get podcasts.
Experience the new season of Business Wars 1 week early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. This season, we dive into the business of wine with The Gallows, whose winery, after trials, lies, and murder, is now the largest in the state of California. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen to Business Wars 1 week early and ad-free. Start your free trial today. From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is We Crashed. This is episode two. Two tall guys from a commune. 'Cause we're gonna be legends. Gonna get their attention. What we're doing here ain't just scary. It's about to be legendary. Kibbutz Nirim is a small community in the Negev Desert in Israel. It's a collection of sandy-colored low-rise homes and dusty farmland. Palm trees thick with dates line the roads. Olive orchards and pomegranate trees stretch across the fields. The kibbutz sits near the Gaza Strip, less than 4 miles from one of the most contested borders in the world. Adam Neumann and his family moved to this kibbutz when he was 11.
For those of you who don't know, a kibbutz is actually a version of a social experiment that Israel made, which actually did not succeed.
On a traditional kibbutz, everyone makes the same amount of money, regardless of your job. Everything is owned equally. No one pays rent. In Israel's early days, there were hundreds of communal villages, but by the time Adam lived there, their days as a socialist haven were numbered. You could say that when it came to growing up on a kibbutz, Adam questioned the business model. Still, he did appreciate the sense of togetherness.
What did work is, as a child, being in that community, having friends that I ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner with, going to school with the same group of friends, and really being part of something greater than myself.
So that's the kind of shared community Adam was used to when, after a stint in the Israeli Navy, he moved for college to New York City. As you probably know, New Yorkers don't exactly have a reputation for being warm and fuzzy. Adam lived in an apartment with his younger sister, and one of the first things he noticed was that no one in his apartment building said hi to each other in the elevator. Adam told the story to reporter Sarah Kessler while she was writing a magazine profile on him.
The building had 15 floors, 135 apartments. Within a week that I'm in that building, we go up and down the elevators, and I notice that no one's talking to anyone. I asked my sister, I was like, what's the deal here? Why are people not talking to each other? We're in the same building. How come you don't know everybody? So in America, it's not how it works. It's very communal in its nature, even if you don't know the people. So I said to my sister, let's play a game. We have 1 month. Let's see which one of us can meet more people on every floor. The goal is to at least know one person every floor. So after the month, we need to go into that person and knock on their door and see if we can like hang out and have a cup of coffee.
So Adam and his sister set off, knocking on every door on all 15 floors.
The building changed. The entire energy of the building changed. Suddenly people were doing barbecues on the roof. There was always a common space on the roof no one was ever using. There was a gym downstairs no one was ever using. And suddenly people were using. Hey, I'm doing a roof party. Hey, a sign on the elevator doing this. Hey, Adam, what's up? Hey, Sharon, what's up? Hey, Joe, everything. And everybody got to know everybody to the level that when someone left the apartment building, were goodbye parties, a new person coming, welcoming parties. And I don't think there was another building like that in the city.
Just by talking to people, Adam had brought the building together. Suddenly, because of Adam and his sister, it felt friendlier, nicer, better to live in. Adam was itching to become an entrepreneur. So just a few credits shy of graduating, he left college. But his first business ventures were pretty half-baked. Women's shoes with collapsible heels that were so dangerous they nearly cut off the finger of one of his employees. This idea tanked. Next up, a line of baby clothes with knee and elbow pads to protect babies as they learn how to crawl. The company was named Crawlers, with a K. And the tagline, just because they don't tell you doesn't mean they don't hurt. That didn't have many takers either. So he pivoted to luxury baby clothes and renamed his startup Egg Baby. Egg Baby sold a little better than killer heels and baby knee pads, but not by much. Adam would later realize what it was he was missing. Passion for the products he was selling. His future would arrive in the form of a chance meeting in the elevator of the building he lived in. It was one of those hot and muggy Manhattan summer days. Adam was on his way to a party on a different floor. He was dressed beyond casual, no shirt and no shoes. He stepped into the elevator and locked eyes with another guy standing there. Adam's really tall. Remember, he's 6'5". He wasn't used to meeting many people taller than he is. But this guy in the elevator was even taller, 6'8". This was Miguel McKelvey, his future WeWork co-founder. Aside from their height, they were a study in contrasts. Miguel was from Oregon. Adam was from Israel. Miguel was reserved. Adam never stopped talking. Miguel had on a shirt and shoes. Adam didn't. But they did have something in common. They had both grown up in places where community, that spirit of we, meant something different. Miguel had grown up on a commune. He lived with five mothers who raised their kids together, nestled in the Willamette Valley in Oregon. For Miguel, this was his family. They lived a frugal life. His mom was a teacher. They lived off food stamps and produce they could grow. Like Adam, this communal living helped Miguel feel like he was part of something bigger. But that wasn't all he wanted. Even as he was raised on vegan food and co-op tempeh, Miguel was a rebellious teenager. He wanted to eat McDonald's, to wear Nikes. And from early on, he had dreams of starting a business. By 2007, Miguel had graduated from the University of Oregon with a degree in architecture and moved to Brooklyn for a job at a small firm that had just landed a huge contract to design stores for a wholesale clothing company that was just getting into retail. The company was American Apparel. And the CEO, Dove Charney, was demanding to say the least. Years later, Dove would be ousted from American Apparel for numerous workplace offenses, from sexual misconduct to using ethnic slurs toward his employees. Dealing with Dove was really tough, but Miguel would later say that he used it as an opportunity to learn and grow. And even when Dove was yelling at him to get things done faster or cheaper, he believed in the company's mission, and that mattered. Miguel spent lots of late nights in the office. He became buddies with one of his colleagues at the firm, an Israeli guy named Gil. Gil invited Miguel to a party in his building. Miguel arrived at the building, got in the elevator.
In walks this other dude, and he's got his shirt off just to walk into a New York condo building, a rental building. Elevator with no shirt is one kind of statement.
The guy was full of confidence. He was talking loudly to someone else on the elevator in a thick Israeli accent. And even as the other person walked off the elevator, the Israeli guy held the door open to finish the conversation. Miguel was struck by his self-confidence. The Israeli guy in the elevator turned out to be Gil's roommate.
We get introduced, and it's Adam.
And so they walked into the party together, Adam and Miguel. For whatever reason, they had a connection. Miguel later told NPR he saw a quality in Adam that he lacked himself.
Charisma is a good word for it. It's also more of a brashness, which I think is cool, but which I don't have.
Adam was looking for new offices for his baby clothing company. Miguel knew his firm's building had space, so he told Adam he should move in. They started hanging out during the workday. They walked around the neighborhood, talked about life and their future. Adam was going through a turbulent time. His baby clothing company was failing. He was smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. Adam recognized how different they were, but also saw something they shared.
The place where we're very similar is we're extremely entrepreneurial, mm-hmm. and we both think really big.
Around the same time, Adam met the other person who, as he tells it, would provide balance in his life. Her name was Rebecca. Rebecca had tried and failed to make it as an actor, yet she knew a thing or two about dreams of success coming true. Her first cousin is Gwyneth Paltrow. At the time they met, Rebecca was 29, a year older than Adam. For their first date, the couple went to dinner. Adam would later tell a conference he showed up not exactly looking his best.
She said, "You're all sweaty. What, do you come here on your bicycle?" And I said, "I actually did come here on my bicycle. I'm an entrepreneur and I'm saving money."
He couldn't buy me dinner
really?
Or even afford a taxi.
Rebecca recalled that first meeting with Adam in an interview with the School of Greatness podcast.
He was making baby clothes when we met. His first endeavor was called Crawlers. He made babies' pants with knee pads so that when crawling babies would crawl, their knees wouldn't hurt. He did not have kids. No one he worked with had kids. The baby clothes did not actually fit kids. It was really a hot mess.
She said, as I said, you talk this big talk, you're broke.
I had just come off a month in the woods up at Omega, eating strictly vegan, meditating a few hours a day, and getting certified as a Jiva Mukti yogi.
I said, "You don't know that I'm broke." And said, "Yes, I do. I can tell. Anybody who talks about money doesn't have any."
So my intention when I met him was just, how do we expand this good vibration to the planet?
She said to me, "You know what your problem is? You don't understand the game of life." And I said, "The game of life? Of course I do." She said, "Prove it. What does success mean?" I said, "Success is whoever dies the oldest with the most money." She looked at me and said, "Exactly. You do not understand the game of life."
I could kind of see into the future. I knew that there was no ceiling on his potential.
They said, "Well, why don't you tell me what success means?" She said, "Success is the person who at their 80s is surrounded by the most loved ones, the most family members, has created the most impact on this planet, has connected to something greater than themselves, and don't forget, had a great time doing it."
I just knew that he was going to be the man that was going to save the world.
I was so blown away by that. I proposed within 30 days.
And we got married a few months after that. Yeah, it was quick.
And I decided that I'm going to explore this spiritual practice called the game of life.
Adam Newman had suddenly found two kindred spirits, one in work, one in life, who gave him the meaning he'd been missing. Adam seemed to come to a realization. He needed to invest his time and energy in something he cared about. He needed to marry his entrepreneurial drive with his desire to build community. And with Miguel and Rebecca in his life, he was about to turn the corner.
From the first moment I met my husband, even though he was broke and all of that, which completely didn't matter to me, I could see that together we were going to create something that was going to be large scale for the planet. That's why I married him.
We Crashed is sponsored by NetSuite by Oracle. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That is what NetSuite has set out to solve. Because most companies don't have a clear picture of their finances, and that's why many businesses fail. So the question for any business owner out there is this: are you confident that you've got the right numbers at your fingertips? Serious entrepreneurs and finance teams run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite offers a full picture of all your finances all in one place in real time, right there from your phone or your desktop. So there's no more guessing, no more worrying that what you don't know could kill your company. That's why NetSuite customers grow 3 times faster than the S&P 500. And you can too. Schedule your free demo right now and receive their free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits, at netsuite.com/crashed. That's a free demo and free guide today at netsuite.com/crashed. netsuite.com/crashed. Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safer. You might already know about their smart video doorbells and cameras that protect millions of people everywhere. Well, check this out. Ring also helps you stay connected to your home no matter where you are in the world. So if there's a package delivery or a surprise visitor, you'll get an alert and be able to see, hear, and speak to them all from your phone. Listen, my parents live several states over. They installed Ring at their house, and it gave the whole family such flexibility, peace of mind. We're installing one at our place, too, and it's simple to set up. As a subscriber, you have a special offer on a Ring welcome kit available right now if you go to ring.com/crashed. The kit includes a video doorbell and a Chime Pro, which is just what you need to start building a ring of security around your home today. It gives you such peace of mind. Go to ring.com/crashed right now to get your special offer. That's ring.com/crashed. The idea that would become WeWork started in May of 2008. The recession had put the New York real estate market in the toilet. Adam and Miguel were both working away in their office in the Dumbo section of Brooklyn when they noticed something. Most of the building's floors were vacant. Adam had an idea. What if they started a co-working space together? Adam and Miguel pulled in their mutual friend Gil and set up a meeting with their building's landlord to deliver their pitch.
If we could create an environment where entrepreneurs and small businesses could come in, have a space, share services, and maybe help each other to be more successful, that would be a great product.
But the landlord wasn't convinced. After all, Adam had a baby clothing company. Miguel was an architect. What did they know about renting office space? But over the next few weeks, Adam kept going back again, and again, and again. Eventually, the landlord relented. He wasn't going to give them the building they wanted, but he did own a different building nearby. It was an old coffee warehouse in Brooklyn, 10 floors of red brick that stretched into the sky, with large windows on every floor. Miguel later told NPR about it.
Exposed brick, exposed timber, beams and columns, big windows, views of the water. Ideal building for the cool startup Brooklyn vibe. They're basically, okay, here's the building. What would you do with it?
Adam and Miguel had been pushing to rent this space, but the truth was, they had no concrete plan in place, no funding to make it happen, no prospective tenants, not even a company name. The landlord had basically called their bluff.
I go home, I start thinking of a concept, of a name, come up with Green Desk, which is office space oriented towards people who are environmentally responsible. I buy the domain, I build a website, I design some floor plans, really simple, do like a quick business model. Basically, I remember I went to Kinko's and had business cards made.
Miguel worked through the night.
My thought was, if I do all this stuff and come back tomorrow, it'll seem like we were planning it for weeks in advance.
The next day, they handed their proposal and got the space. They posted some ads for tenants on Craigslist, and within a week, the space was practically sold out. Green Desk was a success. But there was one problem. Adam, Miguel, and Gil owned the company, but they didn't control it completely. The landlord had a 50% stake, and he didn't want them expanding into any buildings owned by other real estate companies. The founders had a much bigger vision of what this company could be, and so a year after Green Desk launched, they sold it to the landlord.
We must have gotten somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million each.
It was a small fortune for three guys who'd been pushing to make ends meet through their 20s, and it was enough for Gil. He pocketed his share of the cash and moved back to Israel.
For Adam and I, it was clear we're onto something big here and let's roll with it.
Adam and Miguel decided to reinvest what they made into a new venture. They had a little pocket change and proof that they could make a co-working space with a cool design aesthetic work. But they wanted even more. They wanted it to be a co-working space about human connection, about us.
What do you call that? You know, what is the name for a community-oriented business?
As they looked around for the first space they could afford, Adam, Miguel, Rebecca, and their friends tossed around ideas for names. Finally,
literally in the middle of the night, Adam's friend Andrew just came out with it, and he said, it's We Work, it's We Live, it's We Sleep, it's We Eat, it's We... As soon as we heard it, we're like, that's it.
The kid from the kibbutz and the boy from the Oregon commune were going to build something huge, and they were going to do it their way.
essentially Adam controlled the company.
I remember sort of overhearing them talk about how they were going to get to Miami and on which private jet or, you know, what private plane. And I thought, wow, how things have, you know, changed. $12 billion valuation, I guess, will allow you to take private planes everywhere.
It felt like freaking Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
That's on the next episode of We Crashed. From Wondery, this is episode 2 of 6 of We Crashed, about what happens when idealism and greed run headlong into business reality. You can subscribe to We Crashed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want to hear more great business stories, you can subscribe to another Wondery podcast I host called Business Wars, which takes you inside some of the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And you can get access to both series ad-free on Wondery Plus at wondery.com/PLUS. If you like what you've heard, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends how to subscribe. Links to the full podcast interviews we featured are in the episode notes. I'm your host, David Brown. Natalie Robomed wrote this story. Heather Schrering reported this story. Additional reporting by Sarah Kessler. Sound design by Jake Gorski. Our consultants are Corey Weinberg for the information and Scott Galloway. Our associate producer is Caleb Bissinger. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer Beckman, George Lavender, and Marsha Louie. Created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Hey guys, I'm Nikki Boyer, host of The Daily Smile. Jasmine Williams found her destiny at just 14 years old.
I just remember it sounded so cool, so dope. It was like rap and MC and monologue and feelings and everything. And that was my first introduction. I said, I want to do that.
Now she's sharing her passion and her art with people all over the world. Listen to Coming Full Circle at the Poetry Lounge on The Daily Smile on Wondery Plus, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.